now for something completely different.
We're gonna bring it all together.
Cause that's the bottom line.
ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. It's the bottom line with Brad Taylor, where it's all about cashing those tickets, baby. Alongside the best in the business, Angelo Carriero, I'm your host, Brad Taylor. Thank you for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. Give us a call, 381-1313, if you want to talk. On today's show, D.T. Sloffman, who is a producer for the NBA on TNT and a graduate of Asbury University. He stops by to tell us what life is like inside the NBA bubble. And also coming up on the show, Farrell Elliott of the KFFSC, the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. This is it. If you want your shot to win that $15,000 and the title of Kentucky State Fantasy Football Champion, it's now or never. This is the final week you can get a spot in their draft in Cincinnati or Louisville starting next weekend. Farrell will join us later to talk about that. And, of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, the Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, will be coming up later off. NBA-related Stogie Picks coming up later. All that and much more today on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor here on ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. But first, we are the voice of the Reds, and, well, we were the voice of the Reds. For the time being, we are the voice of the team struck by COVID-19 virus. This is the third team to have a player test positive and have to stop playing games. The Marlins had positive tests back in July. They didn't play from July 27th to August 1st. The Cardinals had multiple positive tests after they took a group trip to a casino and none of them wore masks. And they didn't play from July 29th until August 15th. So the Reds are missing their second game today. How many games will they miss? When will they get back to action? Who knows? Your guess is as good as mine, is as good as anyone else's right now as to how they're going to handle this. But this marks a good time to review what's happened with the Reds so far, who are currently 9-11 on the season, exactly one-third through their season. They're 3-3 against Detroit, 1-1 against Kansas City, 1-1 against Pittsburgh. That's 5-5 versus teams that had lost a combined 310 games last season. And by the way, none of those three teams I just mentioned are above 500 this year, but they're all 500 against the Reds. Before the season, the Reds had the easiest schedule in Major League Baseball this year based on last year's records. To be 5-5 against those teams, it's a huge disappointment. And it's also a disappointment out in the desert, if you know what I mean. If you've bet $1 on the Reds every game this season, you'd be down $4.68. That's a negative 23.4% return on investment, ladies and gentlemen. Only five teams are worse. For the record, the Red Sox are the worst. Minus 39.3%. That's bad. We said before this season, of all seasons, the bullpen will be more important now than ever in a shortened season. The proof is in the pudding. The starting pitching, 3.21 ERA. Bullpen has a 6.23 ERA. That's why they're 9-11. When they come back from this COVID-19 layoff, whenever that is, how they perform in these remaining 10 games against the weaker teams like Kansas City and Pittsburgh will determine if this team can make the playoffs, because as of this morning, the analytics say they only have a 48% of making a playoff. They seemed almost assured to make when the schedule was released and the field was expanded to 16 teams, and that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300 92.5 FM, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Hey, college football, I saw this headline on ESPN.com over the weekend. Sources: SEC football coaches irked by added opponents. Really? You don't say. I remember back when I was a kid, I used to watch wrestling. A lot of kids did back in the 80s. And Ric Flair, of course, was one of our favorites. And when he finally won the WWF Championship, the late great duo of Bobby the Brain Heenan and Mr. Perfect, may they both rest in peace, they looked at the cameras and declared, "We're not the kind of guys that like to say we told you so, but we told you so." Well, we've been questioning for weeks on this show what would happen to the SEC schedule when new teams were going to be introduced to these schedules, and what the formula was, using the term formula very loosely, and how these games would be determined to be added to certain teams. Would it be fair for all parties involved? Or would it be rigged to help the big boys keep their national championship hopes alive with as few major tests as possible? The only game added to this schedule which had national implications was Florida versus Texas A&M. All the other big boys, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, they all got a slap on the back and said, "Go get them," to go against the weaker sisters of the opposing division. According to ESPN, in a conference call last week, half the league coaches were quoted as saying that they were, and I'm quoting here, "very pissed off at the SEC," I wonder which half of the league coaches they're referring to, "for favoring some teams and punishing others." Multiple coaches said the system was corrupt because there was no formula. So it wasn't a computer spitting out fair and balanced schedules, and it was a bunch of old men with comb-overs in a smoke-filled room trying to keep the big money makers happy? You don't say. So after the schedule additions, the odds in Las Vegas for Alabama, LSU, and Georgia winning the SEC, they don't change a bit, while all the other teams got worse. We're not the kind of guys that say we told you so, but we told you so. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5, the bottom line with Brad Taylor. We are the home of the NBA playoffs and the NBA finals here on ESPN Radio. Damian Lillard was the star of the bubble. He got Portland to the playoffs yesterday. They will meet their impending doom, maybe, against the Lakers. And he deserves all the accolades and credit for putting that team on his back in these last few bubble games. But who was really the best team in the bubble? For our purposes, it was the Phoenix Suns, and it wasn't even close. Not only were they 8-0 straight up, but they were 8-0 against the point spread. That means anytime you put action on them out in Vegas, you got your money back and then more in addition. And that's what we call cashing tickets here on the bottom line. But how did Phoenix win these games and cover all these spreads? I'm sure Big Blue Nation remembers a guy by the name of Devin Booker. Other than Damian Lillard, Booker was the best player on the bubble, averaging 30.5 a game in those 8 games in Orlando. It seems like just the other day, but it's been almost 6 years ago now that Booker started his career at UK. And I'm sure everyone remembers that 38-1 season and what's not to love about that season. They went 38-1. That team was loaded. Loaded so much that Booker never started a game at Kentucky. He was 6th on his team in minutes played and played only 19 minutes in that infamous loss to Wisconsin in the Final Four that season. In fact, Booker took his last shot in that loss with 11 minutes and 47 seconds left in the game. Keep in mind, UK didn't score a point in that game from the 6th minute and 37 mark until there were 56 seconds left in that game. You don't think they could have used Booker to shoot some shots in that game? And if that wasn't bad enough, the Harrison twins, who haven't made a mark in the NBA at all, played 31 and 27 minutes in that game respectively. Now, you can say defense all you want from Wisconsin, but Kim Pomeroy had Wisconsin the 55th best defense in the nation going into that game. Of all the NBA players that have passed through town while Calipari has been here at UK, only 3 have a career NBA scoring average of 22 points or more. Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns, Devin Booker. So congrats to Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns on winning and covering 8 straight games in Orlando and cashing a lot of tickets out in the desert. But his performance makes you wonder, if Booker was this good, and everyone here at Lexington knew he would be this good in the NBA, how come he was 6th on the team in minutes at UK on his own team? And why didn't he play more in that loss to Wisconsin that ruined their perfect season? That's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300 at 92.5 FM. The bottom line with Brad Taylor coming up after the break. The NBA on TNT producer and Asbury graduate D.T. Slothman will tell us about life in the NBA bubble in Orlando and what's it like down there. But first, Clark's Auto Service is a family-owned and operated business since 1983. Bill Clark and his staff have been open throughout the pandemic. They even worked on my old car a while back, and it runs better than ever. Clark's Auto Service keeps up with technological advances every day so your car and truck can stay on the road. So visit our friends at Clark's Auto Service today, 764 Westland Drive. Their phone number is 859-253-1278, or check them out online, clarksautolexington.com. We check it live from the NBA bubble next year on ESPN Radio 1300 at 92.5. Radio 1300 and 92.5. The bottom line with Brad Taylor. Thanks for listening on this Sunday morning. Our next guest is an Emmy Award-winning field producer currently with TNT, and he's working NBA games from inside the NBA bubble down in Orlando. And he has Lexington ties as he's a graduate of Asbury University. He is D.T. Slothman. D.T., thanks so much for joining us live from the bubble here on ESPN Radio.
It's my pleasure, Brad. It's my prison without bars.
Tell us about life in the bubble right now. Tell us about the testing processes, how life is, and is it closer to a working vacation or is it closer to a jail sentence?
Well, I really do actually refer to it. You remember the Pete Rose autobiography, My Prison Without Bars. That's how I speak of the experience. I mean, granted, I'm at the Waldorf Astoria, but unless I'm going to the television compound, the arenas, I can't leave the property. So before I got on the phone with you today, I walked 5 miles around the golf course and went to the hotel bar for coffee and breakfast, and now I'm back in my room until I go to the arena later. It's kind of crazy. But, yeah, I passed my 9th COVID test, so still COVID-free, still allowed to go to work.
Amen. That's good to hear. Now, have you heard of or even seen other maybe players there or other employees there trying to sneak people in, if you know what I mean, putting them in disguises and getting them in some way, somehow?
You know, you would think that's happening, but everybody's really, I mean, truly everybody's behaved. And I think it's one of those things where if you did have ideas about engaging in behavior like that, that all kind of went away once we became the gold standard here, you know, as Major League Baseball sort of crashed and burned and Major League Soccer had positive cases in their quote-unquote bubble. You know, everybody's really basically said what we're doing down here with the NBA has proven that this can work. And I think even the players, you know, and the coaches, you know, everybody's on board with that. It's like, you know, once you start to get pats on the back and people say, boy, you're doing such a great job, I think you want to keep it going. So, no, I haven't, you know, we joke about it. We joke about it, but I haven't heard of anybody sneaking anybody in. And frankly, it would be really, really hard to do, especially for the players, because they're in what we call the inner bubble. And I mean, essentially they're GPS, man. They all have Disney Magic Bands on. And so they're being, you know, geo-tracked. The league knows where they are at all, you know, times of the day. It would be really hard to sneak somebody in or to, for that matter, sneak yourself in and out without someone knowing.
See, I just see a lot of card games and a lot of dice games in the hallway. I have all these seedy sights of what could be going on here. ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, with DT Sloffman, who's in the NBA bubble down in Orlando, Damian Lillard, Devin Booker. Those have been the two big names, so to speak, on the court during this seeding games. Have they been
the restart? Yeah,
the restart, the seeding games. Your opinion on those two guys and what, especially Lillard, what he's done? How you look at it being behind the scenes and behind the camera, so to speak?
Well, I'll tell you, Lillard. One of the just greatest stories.
Yeah.
That's been going on down here is Damian Lillard. I mean, we've been able to kind of fanboy a little bit, even as those of us are working and we're kind of unbiased, right? We just want good games, but he's been so fun to watch. And then all the drama, you know, around the game the other night where he misses the free throws. And then you've got Paul George and Patrick Beverly,
right,
you know, razzing him on Twitter. I mean, it just adds a whole other level to this, right? The competitive nature, the social media relevance, beyond just the great play. So, you know, he's been really fun to watch. But beyond that, all of those other storylines that have kind of come out of the Trailblazers and some of those seeding game moments have been, just really fun. But I'll tell you, you know who has been amazing and was just, it was kind of crazy that none of us expected, T.J. Warren. Oh my gosh, right. You know, his 53-point night, and then he was unstoppable for, you know, basically three games. So we've seen, we've seen some really excellent performances down here. We've seen some really interesting things happen, like the Phoenix Suns going undefeated in the bubble and then, you know, still going home. I mean, so it's been fun to be a part of it. I can't say that, I can't say that any of us have been disappointed covering these games, but there've definitely been some standouts, some surprises, and certainly some, some shocks, like I say, with Lillard's free throw misses that just then turned around and became storytelling goldmine.
Yeah, we loved the Suns, not only because they went 8-0, but they went 8-0 against a point spread. And that's very important on this show because we know cashing tickets is what it's all about here on The Bottom Line, ESPN Radio 1392.5. So I know you can't give predictions because of your position in the NBA. There wasn't much defense played in these games, and the totals usually went over the point total out in the desert, if you know what I'm saying. Do you see that continuing in the playoffs, or maybe do you see the playoffs people start getting serious finally?
Well, I won't say – I have a hard time saying that people weren't serious, but I think that anyone who's played basketball at any level, let alone, you know, those who sit at home and watch our work, right, the coverage of NBA games, defense is always good defense, right? It's always the hardest component to bring to the floor. Defense is something, you know, offense, we typically think, right, the person who scores the most points wins, right, the old cliche, whatever. But I think it's a whole lot easier to find your flow, find your rhythm, find your shot than it is to work together as a team and stop someone else from doing it. And so when you have such a long layoff, like all of these players had, frankly, like all of us had, just, you know, as regular people, not being able to go to our jobs every day and do our work and engage in those skills that we derive vocational, not just pleasure, but, you know, paychecks for, right? Defense is kind of that last thing, I think, that comes back, because you could be at home if you're an NBA player. You could be at home. You could practice your shot, right? A lot of these guys have their own courts. They have access to places to work out. You know, and that way the lockdown doesn't affect them. But it's a whole lot easier to, you know, kind of wash, rinse, repeat, shot, you know, from around the perimeter or whatever, than it is to be with, you know, a couple other guys and actually practice defensive schemes. So I think that, you know, I don't want to say that people were playing sloppy defense or, you know, it was kind of a back burner item. I think it's actually a thing where that's the last thing to probably come back, right? So I think we'll see better defenses the playoffs start, and frankly, as they proceed.
ESPN Radio 1392.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, joined by D.T. Sloffman, who's a field producer working the NBA games for TNT down in Orlando right now. Craig Sager, anybody who's watched the NBA for better part of three decades, remembers Craig Sager, may he rest in peace. You were a producer of his for 9 years. Now, people like me, I remember his jackets. I remember him from CNN and, you know, being the core reporter from him. And, of course, I spent a lot of time in Atlanta. I remember him. He had a place called Jocks and Jills, a few places called Jocks and Jills down there. I saw him work his magic, quote unquote, in those places over the years. Tell us about Craig Sager and your relationship with him.
Oh, man. Oh, Craig. Craig was the best. I like you said, I produced Craig for 9 years. And just, boy, we had fun. He was so good at what he did. And obviously he, you know, kind of made a mark for himself, you know, as you said, the crazy suits, right? But the thing about Craig that I think was just the best component to how he did what he did was that he was a fan first. I mean, you know, it was so easy for me to work with him, to produce him, because he really genuinely loved going to the game. And I mean, it could be, you know, you and I will sit at home, you know, Celtics Lakers, we're going to turn it on, but there's matchups where we go, yeah, not so much. It's a Tuesday night and I have better things to do. That wasn't Craig. If somebody was playing, he wanted to be there.
ESPN Radio 1392.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and D.T. Sloffman, who's in the bubble down in Orlando during the pandemic. Probably the biggest thing on television that everybody, especially NBA fans, saw was The Last Dance, that documentary. Your thoughts on that documentary, and what has been the buzz on that among people down in the bubble in Orlando?
Oh, man. Well, I loved it. I mean, I absolutely loved it. Now, I know you know, I have colleagues from ESPN that, you know, work on the 30 for 30s. And so I know some of those folks. But what's what was amazing to me about that film was just the fact that they had all of that footage, right? That NBA Entertainment actually had cameras there the whole season. I mean, that's mind-blowing, first and foremost. But, boy, I loved it. I loved the way they put it together. And, frankly, I loved all of the access with MJ. I mean, it was so amazing to really hear from him. We don't get to hear from Michael that often in an unguarded way. I know when, you know, the NBA TV folks did a documentary on the Dream Team some years ago, Michael was the last interview they got. And I think, you know, for that whole hour or so doc they did, they maybe only got 15 minutes with him. I mean, so it's really hard to get Michael. And so really what ESPN did with The Last Dance, I mean, it was worth the price of admission just to get so much Michael Jordan, giving us kind of that inside take, you know, basically how he saw everything. It was fantastic. Down here, I mean, people are still talking about it. You know, everybody loved The Last Dance. In fact, one of the parts that stood out to me that I think we've in fact had numerous conversations about, even still down here in Orlando in the bubble. There's a moment where, you know, they're getting ready to go start the NBA Finals, and MJ gets on the bus and he's kind of jamming out, right? He's listening to music, and then they go to practice and everybody's, you know, kind of making these trick shots. And, you know, MJ sinks one, and they have, you know, an interview with an author, and he's talking about mindset and all of this, and basically makes the case that was, you know, Michael Jordan's, you know, my paraphrase, but that was his superpower, was that he could basically just get into a space where in his head, the only thing that mattered was that focus, right? Everything else was quiet. Didn't matter what was going on around him. He could just get in that headspace where he could take the shot, make the shot, right? And that really is a superpower. And there's so few, even elite athletes, even today, there's so few that we just, you know, we can see them kind of get in that space and tune out all distraction and, you know, have quiet amidst, you know, the storm around them. So, yeah, phenomenal. Phenomenal film.
I still don't believe his story about the flu game, though. The food poisoning. You had 22 years to come up with a good story. That's all you had? Yeah. Michael Jordan had a little bit of creative control. I'm not buying that story. Everything else was great. That one, not so sure.
So you don't think there were folks trying to poison Michael?
I'm not saying that. It's just if you had a better if you had a better story for that. It couldn't have come out in the last 22 years than what we already thought it was, the flu game. Now it's not the flu game anymore. It's some kind of food poisoning game or whatever.
That's probably the first time the public heard that story. I heard that story 10, 13 years ago. In kind of the, I guess, inside circles in the NBA, it was that story's been around for ages. It just it got better when Michael told it.
ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and DT Sloffman, working with TNT on the NBA down in the bubble down in Orlando. Tell us what you're doing for Asbury University these days, your alma mater.
I actually teach. I teach for Asbury. I'm a professor in their graduate school. In the School of Communication Arts, and I teach a sports storytelling course and a deconstructing documentary course. And then I also just wrapped up a tenure as a member of the alumni board with Asbury. So that was great. It actually had me down in the Lexington area a couple times a year. I always love coming back.
That's great stuff. DT Sloffman, tell us where we can find your work on TV and on social media if we can find it there.
Watch the NBA playoffs on TNT. You'll every time you see sideline reports and things like that, I'm involved. And then, you know, hopefully we'll we'll get a baseball postseason, and then TBS there. And in the near future, next couple weeks, in fact, I'll be launching a podcast called The Hope Stream. So be looking for that as well. No, it's been fun. I'm so glad to do this. You've actually given me something to do today besides run around a golf course and swim more laps while I wait to produce more basketball. So.
Well, we appreciate your time, DT, here on ESPN Radio.
My pleasure, Brad. My pleasure.
Thank you, buddy. That's DT Sloffman of the NBA on TNT. Here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. Coming up after the break, fantasy football time with Farrell Elliott. But first, are you looking to design, build, or remodel things at your home? Then call my good friend Jimmy Skinny McKinney at J&R Construction and their award-winning home remodeling company. They're now virtual. Virtual appointments now available. At J&R Construction, they help everyone enjoy the process because relationships matter. So give Jimmy Skinny McKinney a call today. 859-225-0162 or check him out online, jrcsi.com. Fantasy football after the break here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. And here's our usual Sunday guest. He is the commissioner of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, and it's prime time for the KFFSC now. As Kenny Loggins said about 40 years ago, this is it. You need to get into the tournament now if or forever hold your peace. Drafts are next weekend in Cincinnati and then 2 weeks from this weekend in Louisville. He's our good friend Farrell Elliott. Farrell, how you doing today, buddy?
I couldn't be better, and thanks for such a great intro, Brad. You're exactly right. Cincinnati is sold out. There are 19 spots. As we speak today, this Sunday, there's 19 spots left in Louisville at the Caesars Southern Indiana for your listeners to make the short drive over from Lexington and participate. We would love to have them. They won't last long, but they are available, and you know, it doesn't matter when you get in, just as long as you get in. You can start your trip to winning our $15,000 grand prize and lifelong bragging rights as the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Champion.
Now, I was watching HBO this week, and the Hard Knocks show came on there, and it looked like all the protocols and all the testing and everything was working properly. And a lot of people I've talked to have been saying, well, I don't know if I should play fantasy football this year because I don't know if they'll have a full season. But I know after watching Hard Knocks on HBO this week, there's a very high likelihood you're going to get a full 16-game season.
You're exactly right. That's the same kind of guy that says, I don't know if I should talk to that beautiful girl over there because she might not be interested. She might say no. Go ahead and take a chance. And, you know, if you've been spending time with taking your eyes on the NFL, you've seen that we've had a very long time to prepare for this, more than any other sports league. And you saw that in action on Hard Knocks. You know, Hard Knocks is, I think they're in their 15th year, and it's a worn out television show as far as I'm concerned. But this year, focus on two Los Angeles teams, both the Rams and the Chargers. And what I took away from that was that both teams, you could not tell them apart as to how they were bending to fight this virus. And the NFL is doing a great job with this. It ensures the fact that we're going to have a great season and, more importantly, an uninterrupted season with lots of players given the opportunity to play. You know, there's going to be some hiccups along the way, but, you know, that's what fantasy football is about. You manage your team like a general manager manages his. I haven't seen one general manager in the NFL retire, Brad, because he thinks it's going to be too hard.
That's right. But when you make that girl analogy, it brings me back to one of my favorites. The less you bet, the more you lose when you win. If you think about it, it makes sense.
You'll have to diagram that for everyone. That's better visual, Brad.
Yeah, that's, sometimes you got to think about these things. You'll get it. The less you bet, the more you lose when you win. Just think about it for a couple minutes. You'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
We're getting closer to these drafts now, Farrell. Are there any players that are moving up these average draft position lists in these contests, and anybody that is moving down these lists that's catching your eye?
There's some hot players that are moving up. The running back, Edwards-Helaire from Kansas City, is going in the middle of the first round, which I think is way too much draft capital.
Middle of the first round? Wow.
Yeah, way too much draft capital on that player. But, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. Here is a player that is in the second half of the second round in one draft, one of our ancillary drafts this past week. He went as the very last player taken in the second round. And that's a player that has one of the more exciting quarterbacks in the NFL coming in his second year. Some pundits are saying that Kyler Murray may lead the NFL in passing yards. And, you know, Brad, if he's going to do that, most of them are going to go through DeAndre Hopkins. So Hopkins is a steal. I believe Rob Gronkowski is a late single-digit round steal.
Really?
Here's a player that comes back to the game now in perfect health, and he's as loose as they come and ready to play. So there's bargains all throughout the draft. David Johnson, who now has a new home. David Johnson is going to catch balls and rush for close to 1,000 yards and be a real go-to guy when the Texans get in the red zone. So David Johnson's a guy that is going in the late fourth round. So bargains are all over in fantasy football, and, you know, come in and get you some of them.
You're really that high on Gronkowski?
I'm not that high on him, but I believe that you're going to get 65 catches and at least 6 to 7 touchdowns. And in the eighth and ninth round, that's great value. So, you know, I wouldn't want to pay the draft capital that you had to pay for in previous years. But this year, I think it's a wonderful place to be.
Ooh, I'll go under on those numbers, but that's neither here nor
there. Oh, let's do it. Let's do a little side action there. We can put 5 on it.
Come on in. The water's fine. I've heard that somewhere
before.
There
you go.
But you mentioned tight ends, Gronkowski. We see the Travis Kelce's of the world, the George Kittle's of the world, sign these big deals just this past week. Does that affect your drafting position, your draft list for these tight ends whatsoever with these big tight ends? And where should they be drafted in these drafts?
It's exactly that way, Kelce and Kittle, and you can make an argument for either one. They're both different style players, but they're going to deliver huge fantasy points. Your next guy up is either Andrews at Baltimore or Zach Ertz at Philadelphia, followed closely by Darren Waller. These players bring a certain level of expertise in pass catching, running with the ball, getting open from the slot. Kittle is, you know, if you had to just pick a favorite as watching football, Kittle was my favorite player to watch in the NFL. From an agent's perspective, I would say that these contracts are significant for a tight end. But these guys bring a lot more value to their team than wide receivers. And when you compare them to wide receiver salary, a guy that may catch 60 balls for 700 yards in a season, I think the tight ends are still underpaid. But, yes, you need to pay attention to the fact in fantasy football this year that there is a separation of skills between your top tight ends and your middle tier of tight ends. The middle tier is small, and then you're dealing with just a bunch of hope on the other end. So I would not sleep on the position. I would make it part of your strategy to get your tight end one. And if you're in a tight end premium league, such as our friends in Las Vegas, the FFPC, if you're in a tight end premium league, I might want to get two of those better top 10 tight ends.
For the record, there was a time when I made fun of Farrell over Zach Ertz quite a bit, but that's he knows exactly what I'm talking about. But we're not going to air
the
out
more you longer. Bet the more is something about that. I think I came out on the right side of that.
You did. Well, we give people credit when they get the best of us. Yeah, but yes, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win. Words to live
that's
by. You'll understand that. John Gruden's at it again, Farrell, your boy, because you love the Raiders. Now he says Marcus Mariota is the greatest thing since Ken Stabler. Do we trust Gruden anything he has to say about anybody in the Raiders, especially in the month of August?
He loves, you know, he loves his players. And there's something about being a player's coach, but he's not a pushover. He's not a guy that they feel that they can work over, so to speak. So I think he's coming from a place in this world where he wants to create a sense of teamwork, a sense of community, a sense of I have your back as a head coach. That can backfire on you when you have to make a tough decision, bench a player, release a player. But I see what he's doing, and I like it. He's called his backup quarterback now, Mariota. He's called him an excellent contributor, and he ought to be. He ought to like him because the backup's getting paid more than the starter, and one of the highest paid backups ever in the history of the NFL. But you know, he's got so many receivers on this team that the ball is. From a fantasy perspective, there's a lot of guys that are going to catch passes in this offense. So you wonder, you're now looking at a wide receiver core by committee. You know, we had a receiver out of Clemson, Hunter Renfro, which everyone liked a little bit last year, and he was drafted. There's an example of a player that has disappeared from draft boards because there's just not enough heat for Hunter to overcome some of the new players that have joined that roster, including Lynn Bowden.
Nick Chubb going in the second round of a lot of these drafts, is that where he should be going, or should be going a little bit lower?
Or I was presented in a draft that I participated in this week, Chubb or Hopkins, easy decisions about Hopkins. Chubb will not catch enough passes. The touchdown-dependent running back, you're always taking a big risk there. And they got another pretty good running back there called Hunt, who will catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. So, and plus, you know, then if you do go Chubb, you're betting on him scoring touchdowns, sharing touches, and you're also betting on the Cleveland Browns playing better. Should they play better? Yes, they should. Should the quarterback be better? I would think so. But there's a lot of ifs there to spend that draft capital on that running back.
$15,000, the grand prize of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Farrell, tell us how we can get involved and get our hands on that check for $15,000.
Well, you'll have to drive from Lexington to Louisville and draft with us the 28th through 30th of August at the Caesars Casino. Now, everybody would love being there, a new land-based casino with a sports book. If you haven't visited yet, you got to see it. It's beautiful. We are in the Grand Ballroom, and we've got some people that you'd love to meet. We've been doing this for 18 years, Brad, and I can't wait until you walk in the room and everybody gets reacquainted with you. You know, it's a reunion feel of people that have a common interest in playing fantasy football. They're passionate about it, and they're excited about it. Now, we would like listeners to come and feel comfortable and you know, get their blood flowing. You were a first-year player back in the day, and you know, you're pretty confident and in ease in every situation, but I think you got the heart beating a little bit when you first came to our event. We're going to draft online. If you cannot make our live event, we're going to draft online. From there, we'll have many online drafting opportunities through September 5th. So, you know, if you want to be part of it, there's different ways to be part of it. But our flagship event is our event at Caesars, Southern Indiana, and we'd love to have you in the room. 9 spots left. You know what? Some of the guys, you're playing at the 1 o'clock, Brad. Some of the listeners could still tap into the division and play against you.
Well, if they want to make some easy money, that's probably the best way to do it. He's Farrell Elliott, the commissioner of the KFFSC. Make sure to go to his website, kffsc.com. Farrell, give them your phone number so they can contact you.
502-523-5057. And, you know, it's ringing off the hook. Don't be shy to call.
All right, Farrell. We'll see you in a couple weeks, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, bud. That's Farrell Elliott of the KFFSC, and his number is 502-523-5057. His phone messed up when he was giving out his phone number earlier. 502-523-5057. KFFSC.com. Coming up after the break, the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. But first, it's a great time to buy and sell real estate. And if you're interested, make sure to call our friend Trey McCauley. He's got 17 years of experience in real estate. Trey has a 5-star rating on Zillow and serves both residential and commercial real estate clients. So call Trey McCauley today for all your real estate needs. 859-312-7599 or check out his website, bestlexingtonhomes.com. Picks for Sunday after the break here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. ESPN Radio 1392.5. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Coming up after this show, it's the Angelo Show, a man who cannot figure out a name to a show but says, hey, that's the best name I could come up with. Angelo,
What's coming up on the Angelo Show, coming up right after the Bottom Line?
Well, it's just Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5 in Lexington.
Very nice.
I mean, that's what I like to say myself. Well, what we've got to talk about is like where your show is, which I think is fantastically filled with information and the best sports gambling show in Lexington, if not the Central Kentucky region.
Thank
Might
you,
be
sir.
The only one, but I mean, still, it
well,
is the best one.
Another backhanded compliment from Angelo, sir.
It's well, just like mine's the best solo show by a guy named Angelo in the region. So, you know,
we got that
going for us. I'm going to talk about the postponement of college football for the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and the way that I see that affecting other conferences and the duality of morality when it comes to that. I've got news to update us on, including Kenny Payne being hired by the New York Knicks to be an assistant, and what that means for former Kentucky basketball players going to possibly the New York Knicks and reviving that dead-eyed franchise. And I'm also going to break down the NBA playoffs, which start tomorrow, where we'll have quadruple headers for the foreseeable future. So a little NBA playoff. Where is the home of the NBA playoffs in Central Kentucky?
Home of the NBA playoffs? That would be ESPN Radio 1300 92.5.
That's excellent.
There you go, Angelo. Product placement at its finest. Make sure to tune in to Angelo, the Angelo Show, coming up at 10 o'clock here on ESPN Radio. Now it's time for the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio. It's time for our Mac Daddy Stogie picks, and it's NBA playoffs time. And if you look at history, favorites really have their way in these NBA playoffs. And we look down some of these lines. We look at Toronto over Brooklyn. It's minus 2,200. There's no value there. Clippers and Lakers over Dallas and Portland. Portland's getting a little bit of steam, but still, Clippers and Lakers, they probably should go. You get about a minus 500 on those two. So it's really not advantageous to lay that much on a series. But let's look at Houston and Oklahoma City. Both teams have identical 44-28 records on the year. Of course, Chris Paul played for the Rockets. Westbrook and Harden played for the Thunder. Of course, back to the Thunder, there is a time when Kevin Durant, Westbrook, and Harden all played for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Somehow they all got away, but that's neither here nor there. It's kind of like Georgia football a couple years ago. They had Fromm, Eason, Justin Fields. They let them all get away somehow, and they kept the worst one. The ones who stayed suffered. The ones who left town flourished. Neither here nor there. Houston 1-2 versus Oklahoma City this season, but what does that really mean since they were playing months and months ago? They haven't played in the bubble. The ESPN.com experts, using that term very loosely, they're split on this one. The line has fallen in this series from Houston being about a minus 200 to now Houston being about a minus 140. The Westbrook injury is a big deal, but can Houston beat Oklahoma City without Westbrook? Oklahoma City, great season, overachieving season. Those are the kind of teams you like to go against in the playoffs, these teams that have the coach of the year candidates. They go against them in the playoffs because they've kind of played out of their mind in the regular season. Houston is a threat to win the NBA championship, and it's about a minus 140 to advance, so shop around for this one. The Houston Rockets, our first round, Mac Daddy Stogie for the NBA playoffs, take the Houston Rockets to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round matchup. There you go. Take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it. If you're looking for some other action today here on ESPN Radio, 1300 92.5 FM, look at Milwaukee against the Cubs. Wind blowing in will go under, and John Lester is a fraud if you look at his numbers. Look at the Brewers. That's a Vince Stover special. You can follow him at Sports Stove on Twitter. The public unanimously with Minnesota. We like the Royals. If you like to play the underdogs, those are two couple of dogs today. Milwaukee, Kansas City. But we really love the NBA playoffs coming around. Finally, something to talk about. The Reds, we usually have a pick on the Reds, but we have nothing to offer today for the Reds because they're COVID-19 bound for the time being. Hopefully, we'll have Reds action. Make sure to keep tuned in here to ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. You've been listening to The Bottom Line here with Brad Taylor. Don't forget tonight on ESPN Radio at 7 o'clock, Red Sox versus Yankees, Pedro Martinez versus Andy Pettit. Wait, what? No, I'm sorry. Chris Mazza versus Jay Happ. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Stay tuned for the Angelo Show coming up next. And as always, may the winners be yours. What'd you do to get to me?